important message I will ever preach. And I might have to back off after this, because most people will not receive the truth. You think you want the truth, but then when you start to get into it, you realize that it doesn't fit your own agenda. And then if you don't make the adjustments, you become hard. And this is what happens in every generation. People become hard, and then they're not usable because they're not changeable. Because your ideas, most of the time, are wrong. Until you have an encounter with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, you need to change. And once you meet him, you either harden or you soften. But there is no middle ground. Unfortunately, people are not approaching the gospel this way. And so Jesus did. He gave us the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and in other places as well. And people do not heed to what he said. He said, now this parable that I've just given you on the parable, it's not the parable of the sower. That was done by the people who compiled the documents of the Bible. It's actually the parable of the soils, Jesus told me. So it's talking about the soils, which are men's hearts, for paragraphs. It's using one sentence to describe the sower. It's using one sentence to describe the seed. And yet we emphasize the seed and the sower, and we talk about money, and it's not talking about money. Did you hear me?
Hey guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. It's Christmas Eve here in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm really excited to hear from Jesus this morning about a message from Luke chapter 12, and I'm just reading from the Passion Translation. So this really is for you. Merry Christmas. And Jesus Christ, he said he came to set fire upon the earth. And so I guess the title of this message is that this is a different kind of Christmas message. Often we hear in church and in the media, it's true that Christmas is about peace to all mankind. But the picture I see in the spirit is like a superpower, like the United States of America is trying to intervene in a conflict, say, in the Middle East. Maybe it's Afghanistan versus Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Let's just say. And they find out that the battle is because Afghanistan owes $1 trillion to Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is trying to take their natural resources as payment. America says, you know what? We're going to pay your debt, Afghanistan. Here, we're going to pay your debt. So they give $1 trillion to Saudi Arabia, and then Afghanistan invades Saudi Arabia and continues with the conflict anyway. So what I'm saying here is that Jesus Christ has given us this incredible gift of paying our debt. So yes, there is peace towards mankind. God is not holding man's sins against us. And so we have got a right response in Christmas season to receive that gift. The joy is because our sins are forgiven. The joy is because there's an opportunity to be reconciled both to God, to one another, but also to all creation. Because this world, this universe was created to be governed under God. And this whole world, like Afghanistan in this fictitious analogy, this whole world is in rebellion. Now, what would America do? You know, America's tried to help Afghanistan, paid off their debt. You know, they would wipe them off the face of the earth. And that is what I hear Jesus saying here in these scriptures in Luke chapter 12. So let me just read here. It's really, really good passage from Luke chapter 12. So I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. I have come to set the earth on fire. And how I wish it were already ablaze with fiery passion for God. But first, I must be immersed into the baptism of God's judgment. I am consumed with passion as I await this fulfillment. Don't think for a moment that I came to grant peace and harmony to everyone. So this is, you know, obviously opposite to what you see on Christmas cards, but this is Jesus himself saying it. So obviously, it is very significant. No, my arrival will change everything and create hostility among you. From now on, even family members will be divided over me, and one will choose one side and one will choose another. Fathers will be divided from sons and sons from fathers, mothers, daughters, daughters, mothers, mothers-in-law against brides and brides against mother-in-laws, all because of me. So we see Jesus Christ, yes, he's the gift. God paid off our debt, but he's also the plumb line. He's also the sword of the Spirit. He's the Word of God. He's the Logos. And I think as Christians, we forget sometimes that he is continually causing us to repent. You know, Jesus is, whenever we encounter him, we have to change. We are being trimmed. We are being pruned. We are being seasoned. We are being discipled. We're the ones who have to change. The Holy Spirit is transforming us. So it's the washing of the word is the knife coming under the knife, right? Jesus said to them, when you see a cloud forming in the west, don't you say a storm is brewing? And then it arrives. And when you feel the south wind blowing, don't you say a heat wave is coming? And then it happens. You hypocrites, you're such experts at forecasting the weather, but you are totally unwilling to understand the spiritual significance of the time you're living in. And this reminds me of talking to an employee at work, and I don't know how we got onto the thought of it. I think he'd been in a coma for 3 months or something and come out of it, and we were both really just thinking about how, you know, these customers are coming in and their people are walking around and shopping and doing their thing. And it's like no one really acknowledges that death is coming, you know, talking about discerning the times. Like we live our lives on earth not talking about death. I mean, we put the cemeteries in faraway places. We put the old people in homes. We celebrate youth. We celebrate new things as though we're going to live forever, because that is our spirit man. Our spirit is eternal. So we feel it, and our spirit man is who we really are. You know, and so we were just, you know, touching on that idea for 5 or 10 seconds that you know, we're all going to die, you know, and life is finite and it's going to run out. And it's like, you know, we don't want to put off, you know, this incredible gift that God's given us and through Jesus Christ and his blood. That is what Christmas is about. It's an ultimatum, really. It's our last ticket out of here, you know what I mean? And we've got to accept him. Verse 58 of Luke 12 in the Passion continues, when you are guilty of wrongdoing, he's talking about us, right? When you are guilty of wrongdoing, it is better to agree with your adversary, that's God, and settle your dispute before you go before a judge. If not, your adversary may drag you into court and the judge will find you guilty and throw you into prison until you've paid off your fine entirely. And so we know that we can never pay that debt back to God. We can never, there's no forgiveness for sins without blood. And Jesus Christ's blood is the only perfect blood that can cancel our sin, clean our conscience. And so today there is peace on earth. There is joy. But that is about the gift. The peace and the joy is the gift that's given. And that peace and joy is contained within the gift and within those who have received the gift. So yes, let's celebrate this Christmas the joy. Let's celebrate this Christmas the peace. But let's remember that Jesus Christ is the sword, that he came to bring fire. He came to bring division. It's not about starting arguments at Christmas or being, you know, too aggressive in your evangelism, but don't be afraid to present people that ultimatum. Don't be afraid to present people, hey, where do you think you're going to go when you die? Have you fulfilled the Ten Commandments? Have you ever lied? You can ask people these questions, because really, when you talk about Jesus, they will be forced, in a good way, they will have to choose. It's not your responsibility what they choose, but we've got to present the good news of the kingdom that has come. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and allow people to make a choice, some to salvation, which would be incredibly amazing. But don't write off those who deny him now, because, you know, I was given opportunity as a teenager, and it was a few years later that I ultimately believed. I remember praying for my dad for a decade before he repented, and everyone was and still is astonished that he became a Christian. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. This is a Christmas message from Melbourne, Australia. Love you lots. Have a fantastic time. And please, as you read the Gospels, as you preach the kingdom, remember, it's the kingdom of God that has come. His kingdom is at hand. His kingdom is within us, and his kingdom is now. Bye for now. Hey guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. I'm Jonathan here in Melbourne, Australia, and bringing you the final episode to wrap up 2023. Playing in the background here is some angelic music that a man had an experience with Jesus, and I love the music. Thank you, Father, for this year. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that none of the bad things that happened came from you. You know, God, we ask for forgiveness for putting expectations on you to be a certain way, to answer our prayers on time. God, we know the Bible says that it's through faith and patience that we inherit. And I believe for those listening that there are promises that are going to be inherited, Lord God, that the moment we prayed, you heard us. And the reality is that you've already answered our prayers. The reality is that we're already seated in heavenly places. Just because people treat us badly here on earth, or, you know, bad things seem to happen, doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong, God. And We are entering into maturity, God, in 2024. Maturity in 2024, Lord God, is that we would base our lives on what you have already said. We don't need a sign. Lord, we're not an unbelieving generation that's always asking for a sign. Lord, we're the opposite of that. We agree with you. God, you say yes and amen. And we say yes and amen. God, you promised us persecution. You promised us troubles. But you said that you have overcome the world. And so in 2024, we're living as the head and not the tail. We're living above and not beneath. We're going from glory to glory and strength to strength. And we break the cycle of slavery, Father God, to sin. And we break the cycle of slavery to fear. And we break the cycle of ups and downs, Lord God, of the roller coaster ride of life or of Christianity, the rat race. No, we break those word curses in Jesus' name, because a Christian is being transformed into the image of Christ. We're being transformed into the hope of glory. We, according to scriptures, are going from glory to glory and from strength to strength. So God, I just feel that we release you, Father God, and we release other people, and we release ourselves. There are things we don't understand. There are things that where there are question marks, and we just come to the end of this year and delete, Lord, all of that cache memory, Father God. It's like in a computer we store up, you know, cache memory, and we just delete it now. And we ask for a supernatural defragmentation, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. And what the Father's saying is he's taking you towards greatness. He's reminding you that when you see him, you will be like him. So, Lord, I just thank you right now for the anointing that breaks the yoke. I thank you, God, for the call. I thank you, God, for the provision. And I just thank you, God, for the opportunity to consecrate. Let our goal for 2024 not be with selfish ambition, but let our goal be your goal, Father God, that we would be sons and daughters made in the image of God, that we would be revealed to the world, as it were, as sons and daughters, that we would be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is our prayer, Lord. Make us just like you, Father. We want to be like our Father. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever 2024 brings, Lord, where our soul might want certainty, where our emotions might want justice and judgment, Lord God, where our body might want a rest or a holiday, God, we in our spirit, men, we cry out, Lord, for your glory to come, for your fullness to take over every cell in our body. And according to Romans chapter 6, we consecrate ourselves to you today, Lord God. Verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Hey guys, I've been Jonathan. Let's seek first the kingdom. Let's seek first his righteousness. And let's tell everybody about Jesus Christ, that God the Father is not holding man's sins against them, and that they can be reconciled to God through you and I. We can, you know, we can lead people to Christ. We can lay hands on the sick. We can see them recover. We are the gate for people to enter into. Jesus said, I'm the gate. He said, I'm the door. But then he said, you are the gate. You are the door. Because he said, as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. So Jesus, we give you permission to do what you want to do in and through us, God. And we release you. I just feel that we release God from our timeline. God. I thank you that Psalm 16 says that the times, Lord, that you are our portion, Lord, you are our cup. You the lines of inheritance have fallen in pleasant places, Lord God. You direct our steps, Lord, you direct our paths in 2024. Go and be in peace in Jesus' name. Bye for now.